produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Made our way down to Chapter 9 in Deuteronomy. We went through the first section of our outline, which is Moses reviews Israel's journey from Sinai to the plains of Moab, which is it was the first address of Moses. Now we're in the second address of Moses, which is Moses reviews and expands the law for the new generation. Now remember, if you didn't catch the last session or last couple of sections, remember, this is only a review. So when you see Rev just going through the scriptures, just going straight down the page, a lot needs not to be taught during this section because we've already taught this in previous books, okay? Deuteronomy does not progress time. Certain books of the Bible progress time. What do I mean by that? Deuteronomy is a review or expansion of the book of Numbers, and it is a review of the history so that the new generation of Israelites or Hebrews can understand their history, they know it, and be able to teach it to others, the other generations to come after them, their children and their children's children. And you have to know that to understand the book of Deuteronomy, okay? It speaks of blessings and cursings, but the cursings, you can't understand why the cursings happened or would happen unless you understand all the disobedience of their history. Are we together? So over and over and over again, the Hebrews or the Israelites was disobedient to God. And so he reviews that for the new generation because the entire generation was lost in the wilderness wanderings, okay? So keep that in your mind as we're going through it. I'm just going through it from top to bottom because it is just a review. So get your Bibles out. So we're going to follow the scripture straight down without a lot of stopping because we've already taught this extensively, okay? So if you look at your outline. Moses reviews and expands the law for the new generation. It is the second address of Moses. Okay, you see it is a series of exhortations from chapter 5 all the way to chapter 11, verse 32. So you see that stopping at 32 is a series of exhortations. Starting at chapter 12, where we will start next week, is a series of laws and statutes, okay? So let's dive into that. Israel's rebellions reviewed. Here we go again with that word rebellion, or that's synonymous for disobedience, okay, or hardening their heart of the laws and commands. So let's look at chapter 9. Chapter 9, hear, O Israel, and I'm walking straight down the page. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go into dispossess, okay, nations greater and mightier than you. In layman's term, to kick them out, okay? Cities great and fortified up to heaven. Verse 2, a people great and tall, the descendants of Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak. And that's where you get the giants. Okay. We talked about that extensively. Okay. That's where you get the giants, or people speak of fallen angels, or giants of men that could not be conquered and everyone feared. So look at verse 3. Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire, as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. Bring them down, meaning you think they're so tall. He will defeat them before you. It's a play on words. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. God is your banner. Okay. He is your banner. He fights for you, is what Moses is saying. Now remember, this is Moses still talking. This is out of the true heart of Moses. I've said this before. This is a different tone coming from Moses. This is a tone that I know that I'm going to perish or die soon, or give up the ghost soon, okay? Because God has already told me that. So I am trying to beat it in your head out of the passion of my heart to be obedient to God, okay? It is new. This is a new tone coming from Moses. He is speaking out of his heart. He's not talking down to them. He's not speaking in any type of way. He simply is trying to beat it into their brain. You must be obedient to God to survive and to be blessed. If not, you will be cursed. So verse 4, do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you. Don't think in your heart and say, because of my own righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. Okay. But it is because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of these nations. Go on down, that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand, verse 6, that the Lord your God has not given you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. You are a stiff-necked people. Okay, let's deal with that. And I'll try to be brief. Oftentimes in scriptures, you have different reasons. Well, you always have different reasons why God is doing the act that you are reading, okay? And as I try to tell you, always understand why God is doing what he's doing, the plan, the purpose, the promise, okay? So let me say this clearly. All of this underlying motivation is the Abrahamic covenant. And I say that a million times. God had to form a people unto himself. He promised Abraham all the promises that he gave them. The Abrahamic covenant was specifically for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. That's where you get the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. The covenant promise. When you see promise, that is the covenant promise. Okay. But also God's actions is dictated sometimes by the obedience of the people, or translated, the righteousness of the people. He's rewarding people, his people. Thirdly, he's moving because of the wickedness of people, whether it be other people or whether it be his own people. You got me? This is very important, okay? He's either moving because of his word, his promises, and his promises will go forth, whether positive or negative, okay? He's either moving because of his, out of his promise, or, you know, out of his word, or he's moving to bless the righteousness and obedience of people, or he's moving to punish the wickedness of people, no matter who they are. When he destroyed his own people and the wilderness wanderings, that was to the wickedness of his people. When you see that he's destroying other nations, that's because of wickedness of other people. Okay, so when you see him doing things for Israel, sometimes it's because of the promise, sometimes it's to bless them because of their obedience, and sometimes they're the beneficiary of him punishing other nations. I hope I said that right. Wave at me if you got that, okay? Okay, so keep that in mind. When he's driving out the wickedness of the Canaanites, it's because they were so wicked, he was ridding them and punishing them of their wickedness. But Israel was benefiting from it because he was moving as a consuming fire and fighting their battles for them because he loved his people, but also because he's punishing the wicked. Okay, let's get that in mind. When God is moving, it's for several reasons, and you have to understand why. Okay, so let's move. I hope that was a good spiritual nugget for somebody. Okay, verse 7. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. So remember, you're not a righteous people. Okay, you are the righteousness of God, which we are called later. Why? Because we have Christ Jesus and he's holy. Okay, so but let's stay in the Old Testament right now. Let's stay in the Old Testament. Okay, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. And what is he building up? The cursings. He's building up the cursings. He's like, you're not a righteous people. You rebel against God all the time. So get it right. He is speaking out of his heart. Okay. He's speaking out of his soul to the people. Get it right. Because I'm not about to be around here. So get it right. So verse 8, also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath so that the Lord was angry enough with you to have destroyed you. But look at verse 9. When I went up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant, which the Lord made with you, then I stayed the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, neither ate bread nor drank. He was fasting. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Okay? So then look at it, drop down to 11. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, that the Lord gave me two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Verse 12, he said, arise, go down quickly from him, from here, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have acted corruptly. You're up here fasting, and I'm speaking to you and giving you the covenant, but I know what I'm seeing your people, because he's all seeing, all knowing, ever present. I'm seeing what your people are doing. They have quickly turned aside from the way, which I've commanded them. You've been gone 40 days and they already turned against me. They have made for themselves a molding image. Big mistake. Remember, that's the golden calf incident, right? Okay. Furthermore, I have seen this people, and indeed they are a stiff-necked people. Remember, he's speaking to the new generation about what happened or reviewing what happened to the previous generation so that they don't commit the same mistakes. So this is nothing new, guys. This is just a review, okay? And he said at that time to Moses previously, let me alone that I may destroy them, destroy this people and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than you, than they. Okay? Get it. No matter what happens, God's word will go forth and his word will be fulfilled. Okay? So if he had to wipe out the entire nation of Israel, he would still make or fulfill his covenant through Moses. Is what he was saying. Okay? So, look at verse 16. God says, you have made for yourselves a molten calf. You have turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord has commanded you. 17, then I took the two tablets and threw them out of my hands and broke them before your eyes. Okay, Moses did. And I fell down before the Lord. Moses is speaking. As at the first, 40 days and 40 nights, I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sins, which you committed. Let me get that right. So you committed. So Moses is saying, I went before the Lord, fasted 40 days, received the commandments. You're down here rebelling against God. I broke those tablets, which is kind of signifying his anger and the anger that was against the people by God, okay? And Moses saying, I went and fasted another 40 days just as I did before. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I learned this the first time, I didn't catch that he fasted a second time. So maybe somebody else caught that he had to fast another 40 days and 40 nights because of their sin, okay? And I'm glad I caught that the second time. I didn't catch that the first time that I learned this. So in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. 19, four, I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you. So I fasted for you as your patriarch and your representative so that he would not to destroy you. Okay. But the Lord listened to me, which was Moses, at that time also. He listened to me the first time, and I fasted. Now, he listened to me the second time after I fasted. So put a pin right there. Maybe if we feel that our prayers are not being heard, which they are because he hears our prayers, but we haven't seen anything happen yet, maybe fasting is the key. Maybe. That's the example given to us, correct? Okay, so pull that example out of there. He fasted a second time. All right. So he was afraid of the anger of God against the people. He had did nothing wrong. But the Lord listened to me at that time also. Look at verse 20. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron because I left Aaron to lead the people while I was gone and would have destroyed him also. So I prayed for Aaron also at that same time. You see how he's speaking to the people? Verse 21, then I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire. Look at how he said, I took your sin. The calf was a symbol of your sin. And I burned it with fire and crushed it and ground it to very small pieces. Okay? Verse 22, also Tabira and Massa and Kibroth and Hatavah, okay? And you provoked the Lord to wrath, if I'm pronouncing those correctly. If not, excuse me. Likewise, and this is just incidents he was speaking of in 22. These were places and these were incidents, okay? Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the command of the Lord, your God, and you did not believe him or obey his voice. Listen to how he's sounding. Verse 24, you have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Wow. That is a statement. From the day that I knew you, you've been rebellious. So put that together. He's saying, don't think that your righteousness is that you're so righteous and that's why God is giving you this great land. No, it's because of his promise, his love for you, and it's because of he's taking out the wicked people. He has a plan and a purpose. It's not because of your goodness. It's because of the grace of God receiving something that you did not deserve. Amen, somebody. Amen. Get that blessing of word right there. 25, thus, I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. Therefore, I prayed, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance, the Abrahamic covenant, whom you have redeemed through your greatness. 27. Remember your servants. Do not look on the stubbornness of this people or on the wickedness of your sin. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's saying, remember the covenant promise. Your word shall not be hindered because of the stubbornness of people. So do not destroy them, Most High God, Yahweh. 28, lest the land from which you brought us should say, because the Lord, he wasn't able to bring them to the land which he promised them, and because he hated them and has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness, yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and your outstretched arm. So he's saying, if you destroy these people now, he was telling them previously, this happened before, this is history. If you kill them now, Father, everybody will say, including the Egyptians, that you hated them or you weren't able to bring them to the promised land. So don't make yourself look bad. Okay? Don't make yourself look bad. All right? So, this concludes the first chapter. So remember, he is telling them, it is not your righteousness. That concludes chapter 9. It's not your righteousness, the righteousness of the people. He is reviewing Israel's Israel's rebellion. Not their righteousness. He's reviewing their rebellion. Okay? So now your study Bible should say, the second pair of tablets, which is the heading of chapter 10. Okay, the heading of chapter 10. So look at chapter 10. It is saying now, because what? The first set of tablets were destroyed. Let me give you a little tidbit. If you do a little research on that, okay, this is just a little extra information. If you do a little research on that, I have always seen the tablets depicted as, and of course, this is just for movies or for pictures and things like that, okay? I have always seen the tablets depicted in pictures and in books or in movies with two tablets, Moses holding the two tablets, 1 through 5 on one tablet and 9, you know, and 6 through 10 on the other tablet, right? You know, I've always seen that, but actually, when you get to studying it, it has more meaning than that. The two tablets signify a covenant agreement. So the two tablets were identical. They were a copy of each other. So research says, not my opinion, so research says, the first tablet had all the commandments. The second tablet has all of the commandments because it was a covenant agreement. One party receives a copy. The next party receives a copy. Let me let that marinate in your spirit, okay? Just like if you do a legal proceeding, let's say like your mortgage agreement. You receive a copy. The mortgage company receive a copy. They're identical copies. When you do, while I was doing study on this, the tablets were to be identical. The people of God received a copy, and the first copy, identical copy, was God's copy. Isn't that interesting? So that takes it from just writing on stone to the covenant agreement. Amen, somebody? I never knew that. I never caught that. I got that out of my research just this week. I didn't get it the first time I taught it to you, okay? So God is always showing us little nuggets, little spiritual nuggets, little tidbits to bless us. So that first copy, two tablets that were identical, was destroyed. Now we're at the second pair of tablets, which will be identical to the first. First tablet, second copy, identical to each other, which is a covenant agreement. Israel got one copy. God kept one copy, but signifies a covenant agreement. That's what it symbolizes. But remember, those two tablets, the covenant agreement, went into the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Okay? All right, here's a quick quiz. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? What was commanded to be put in the Ark of the Covenant? All right. Tell me your answers later or post it in the comments. Yeah. Post it in the comments. If you're on YouTube and or if you're on Zoom, posted in the comment section. What was, I want to hear from everybody, what was commanded to be put in the Ark of the Covenant? Besides, I gave you one, besides the tablets of stone. All right, now, chapter 10. I didn't know Red was going to be quizzing me today. Don't worry, nobody will see it but me. Chapter 10. Hew for yourself two tablets of stone like the first and come up to me on the mountain, meaning bring me two stones. Cut out the stones and I'm going to write on them, is what he's saying. Verse 2. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke, Moses, out of your anger, and you shall put them in the ark. Okay, is what he's saying. And, you know, let's talk about what it's made out of. We already know that. So look, skip to verse 4. And he wrote, capital H, he, meaning God, young people, he wrote on the tablets according to the first, meaning they were identical to the first, the Ten Commandments. Okay, then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark, which I had made. And there they are, just as the Lord commanded me. Just as the Lord commanded me. Okay. Now the children of Israel journeyed there. Then they left there. And then where Aaron died and where he was buried, and Eleazar, his son, ministered as priest in his stead. All that is saying is remember when Aaron passed and then Eleazar was his successor. Okay. Verse 8. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe. Now, look, is where we're moving to. Now we've journeyed, and now we see where it's moving to. Now, remember, it picks up now where the tribe, where he designated that the tribe of Levi would be separated out. Okay? That's all it is saying. At that, verse 8, at that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Remember, it is just where he's saying the Levitical priests would be separated to do the work. They would be the pastors and preachers. Okay. That's all he is saying. That's all this is saying here, to stand before the Lord and minister to him and to bless in his name to this day. Therefore, Levi has no portion nor inheritance from his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. So meaning they didn't get the inheritance of land, remember? The other tribes were to bless them and tithing to the Levites. In a sense, tithing to God. Verse 10, as at the first time, I stayed the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord chose not to destroy you. Verse 11, arise, begin your journey before the people that they may go in to possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Okay? So because of the prayers and the fasting of Moses, the people were not destroyed. Now, thank you for your comments. I see them. Okay. The essence of the law. The essence. This is so very important, guys. So I hope you didn't just breeze over this. Verse 12 starts the essence of the law. It's something very, very simple, but very profound and very important in this section that I hope you caught. One word that I hope you caught. The essence of the law. And I will premise this by saying we always hear people talking, saying, I'm not under the law. I'm not under the law anymore. And we understand what they are saying, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. We understand what they are saying, but listen to what this section is bringing out. The essence of the law, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, reverence him, to walk in all his ways, and look at what I have underlined, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today, for your good, for your benefit, for your blessings. To walk in all his ways and to love him. Love him. Okay? Look at verse 14. No, let me go back over verse 12. It says to reverence him, to fear him, to walk in his ways, to walk as he has told you to walk, to love him, to serve him, not only to love him, but to put it in action, motion, to serve him, okay, with all your heart and soul, to walk in his commandments, his statutes, the laws that I've given him, what to do and what not to do, okay, for your good, for your blessings. Verse 14, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, your God. Your God, you are his possession, not the other people. He created them, yes. They are his creations, but not his chosen nation. Someone asked me this during the week. Yes, the other people are his possession, but not, or his creation, but not his chosen possession. He's not working through them. He's working against them. I love how I put that. Amen. Amen. That's not even in my notes to say, but amen. You got it? Okay. So, also, okay, indeed, verse 14, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also, the earth with all that is in it. Okay? The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them. He delighted in your fathers, your ancestors, to love them. And he chose their descendants after them, you above all people. He separated you out. And it is this day. Verse 16, therefore, circumcising the foreskin of your heart, meaning when we talk about circumcision, we're talking about the covenant and obedience to the covenant. And be stiff-necked no longer. Don't be rebellious any longer. You see how he's talking to him? For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. The great God, the most high God, the mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. You can't convince him of it to change his ways. He's no respecter of persons. He calls this nation as his covenant nation, but his word has no partiality in it, okay? They will get punished, even if they are the chosen, is what he's saying. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Verse 19, therefore love the stranger, for you were strangers yourself. Verse 20, you shall fear or reverence the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. Okay? He is your praise. He is your God, not anyone else's God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. It says out of the number when they came out of Egypt with 2.5 million from 70. And what is given reference to? It's given reference to the covenant. I will make your name great and I will grow your people. And you will not be able to count them as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach, right? Remember that? When we talk about the essence, let me make sure to draw this out. The essence of the covenant, the essence of the covenant is one word, and that is love. Love, love, love. The essence of the covenant is God loved us so much that he's providing for us, not by our own righteousness. So if people want to keep harping on, I'm not under the law, or under the covenant, how dare you say you're not under the covenant? Okay, be very, very careful. Okay, yes, we understand that, but realize something that Jesus said. He says, I didn't come to abolish the law or the covenant, but I came to fulfill it, because he is an extension of the love of God. Because he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. And we love him because he first loved us. Love, 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 love. His essence is love. So be careful when you're speaking on the covenant or the promise or the law, because Jesus never said he came to abolish the law. Are we together? Okay, he came to fulfill the law. He is love in person, walking on earth, or walked on earth. Okay, so be careful how you speak of the commands and the covenant and the laws. Be careful with that, okay? Because the essence of it is he loves us so much that he gave us these laws so that we can be holy. Be ye holy because I am holy, spoken in Hebrews. So it is stated that, okay? So be careful. We're connected by his love. So he loved us so that he gave us these rules and regulations so that we can be know how to be obedient to him, okay? So be careful with that. Be careful with that. So now chapter 11, the last chapter that we're going to cover, chapter 11, okay? Love and obedience rewarded, chapter 11. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God. Look at what it's saying right after chapter 10. And keep his charge, his statutes, his judgment, and his commandments always. Verse 2, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts. He did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and chariots, and how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. What he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did at Dathan and Abiram, I'm sorry, and the sons of Eliab. You see, he's going over and over again, how the earth opened his mouth and swallowed them up. Everything he's speaking of what he did for the people previously. Verse 7, but your eyes have not seen every great act of the Lord which he did. He's speaking to the new generation. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. Verse 9, and that you may prolong your days in the land. If you obey, then those days will be prolonged. Okay? Prolonged in the land. And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Out of your obedience, you will be blessed, is what it is saying. And you will not only prolong your days, but you will prolong your days in the land, the promised land, the land of Canaan, which he is saying. Okay? Verse 10, verse 11, for the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. Listen to what he's saying. Verse 12, a land from which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. Look at how it says, the land which your Lord cares, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Verse 13, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which the Lord commands you today, to love, and what's the command? To love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 14, then I will give you rain for your land in this season, the early rain and the latter rain, in season, out of season, all year round, for the crops, and before, during, after the crops, the greater and latter rain, okay? The early rain and the latter rain. That's what it's saying. That you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled. Verse 16, listen to this. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived. He's telling them again. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you. And he shut up the heavens, close up the heavens, so that there be no rain. Keep in mind, always remember, we see examples in scripture where we see the Lord stopping the rain, okay? And the land is not blessed because of it. Because the crops, the people need water, they need rain. The land would dry up, the crops need it, the animals need it. So the rain coming forth always symbolizes like blessings. What is God saying here? Always get the meaning of what he is saying. He is saying the blessing of the land comes from me. The upkeep of the land comes from me also. Me giving you the land is your blessing. But this land is a great land because of the rain that I pour upon it. I provide for you, giving you the land. I provide water for you. I provide rain for you. I provide rain for the crops. I provide rain for the animals. And crops for the animals, and grazing for the animals, crops for you, and grazing for the animals. I provide all of this because I'm blessing you with the land, and I'm blessing the land and sustaining the land which I gave you. Wow. That's a double, triple blessing right there. Did you get that? What he's saying? Okay. That's what he's saying. He's saying all of this comes from me. So don't ever think it's out of your own righteousness or out of your own effort. Everything comes from me. So, verse 17, lest your anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there are no rain. Okay? So you want to be obedient so that your blessings will continue to flow, is what Moses is saying. You can pull that example in your own life. Your obedience will cause your blessings to continue to flow. Okay? We obey God because we love him. The essence of the covenant, the essence of the law is love. So focus on the love part. I'm obedient to God because I love him. He blesses me out of my obedience because he loves me. My blessings flow out of my love and out of my obedience. Cursings flow out of disobedience, which is perceived by God as lack of love. That's powerful. That's powerful. Please get that in your spirit. Okay? Get that in your spirit. And it's giving you the example in these chapters of how love is the key. Not from Frankie Beverly song, but from the scripture. Okay? One of my favorite songs. So the scripture teaches you love, obedience out of that love, obedience to God, love for God, then your blessings will flow. Okay? Don't think it's out of your own righteousness, but it's because we are sinful people. The Israelites were sinful people. They are our descendants. So the blessings and curses was depicted upon what? Our obedience and our love. Okay, so it says, verse 17, I'll review it again. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens, caused the rain to stop. And what happens then? Famines happen, right? And we see that famines happen, so that there be no rain and that the land yield no produce. Famine. and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Wow. You will perish quickly. 18, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart, ingrain them in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Put it on your brain, your heart, and your soul, everything, okay? 19, you shall teach them to your children. Verse 20, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates, God wanted it everywhere, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Your days in the land and your days, the children's days in the land will be multiplied by your obedience. You want your children to be blessed, then obey. You want to be blessed, obey. You want your grandchildren blessed, obey. Walk in love. Stop walking in anger. Okay? Stop walking in disobedience. Walk in love. In love. Stop being so heavy-hearted. Walk in love. Whether you agree or disagree with people, walk in love. Agree to disagree. That's okay. Walk in love is what the scripture's saying. Not my opinion, is what the scripture's saying. Okay? Now, 22. For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command to you, to what, people? To love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and hold fast to him. 23, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you. And he listed seven of them that were eventually Canaanites. Okay, all the mites, he listed seven of them in the scripture. He will drive out all these nations greater than you to bless you, just to give you your possession. And you will dispossess, kick them out, greater and mightier nations than yourselves. I just said that. 24, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, oh my God, shall be yours, shall be your blessing. Verse 25, no man shall be able to stand against you. Who shall stand against the children of God? No one, because we're a blessed people. If you walk in his ways and in his statutes. Now, 26, I bold and underlined in your notes and italicized. 26, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. Uh-oh, the blessing. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. 28, and the curse. And the curse. If you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known, blessed if you obey, cursed if you don't. That sets up so much of everything that you read after this point forward. Okay? That is why you see all these evil and corrupt things that you are seeing against God's chosen people in this very day, that you will continue to see until Jesus comes and calls us home. Not my opinion, scripture. Okay? Until the day of rapture, you will continue to see what you're seeing because of the disobedience of the people, the cursings of the people. You're supposed to see all of the evil things that you see against God's people that you are seeing today because you are learning in your Bible how the people were disobedient against God. Okay? And it will get in further detail in later parts of this book, all of the cursings against God's people, okay? So I'll save that to them. But we're building. I could have just jumped you in this Bible study straight to 28 and give you, straight to Deuteronomy 28 and give you the blessings and curses, but you would not understand why. You are getting it brick by brick, building block upon building block, so that you know within your heart, in your soul, in your mind, why the people are cursed. Okay? Now, verse 29. Now it shall be when the Lord your God, the Lord, the Most High God, Yahweh, your God, you are his chosen people, have brought you into the land which you go to possess, your blessing, okay, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Okay, somebody asked me why is that, or Will ask me why is that. That was like twin towers, twin mountains, okay? So it's just signifying the continuation of what he just said. Blessings if you obey, cursings if you don't. So put the blessings on one and the cursings on the other. Take your pick. He wanted them separated, but he wanted them both listed on the mounts, okay? There were twin mountains is what it is saying, okay? So 31, for you shall cross over the Jordan and go and to possess the land which the Lord Yahweh, your God, your possession, you are his possession rather, is given you, and you shall possess it and dwell in it. 32, and you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. Wow. And we finished 5 minutes early, okay? Listen to what he's telling them. Moses is reviewing for the new generation. He's reviewing for the new generation everything that happened to their forefathers, okay? The first address, he went over historical data and Israel's history. The second address is a series of exhortations, is reviews and expands the law for the new generation. So he's ingraining in their brains, you are to love and reference the Lord your God and obey him out of love. You are his chosen. You are his righteousness. You are his people. His chosen people, he needed three things to form his great nation. Here I go again. To form his nation, he needed what? People, law, and land. He gave them the people. He formed his people. He formed the law. He gave them the law, and he's given them the land to possess them, okay? So that they could possess the land, okay? When that happens, they are officially the great nation from the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the great nation formed by God unto himself. Why did he need them following all these rules and regulations and to be holy? Be holy because I am holy, because he wanted to dwell with his people. He cannot dwell with the unholy people, dwell meaning in their midst, and he did that with the tabernacle. We went over all that, the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies where he dwelled, his presence dwelled among the people, and the tribes were in divisions around the camp. That's how he, a holy God, dwell among unholy people. Okay, I'm just giving you a synopsis. Go ahead and connect the dots. So they were disobedient. They refused to go into the promised land the first time when they set out the spies. Remember, in Joshua and Caleb came back, the only two that said that we could possess the land. So they were disobedient. They was caused to go into the wilderness wanderings. Now all of them has perished, the new generation. Now he is saying, let me teach you everything that has happened so that you can go in and to possess the land and you will not be disobedient like your fathers did and grandfathers did, okay? God's word will still be fulfilled. His word will still go forward. His word will still go forward, okay? So the thing is, they have to be obedient to be blessed, and if they're disobedient, they are cursed, okay? So remember, blessings and cursings, obedience, disobedience, everything is based upon loving God. The essence of the law, the essence of the covenant is to love God. And because of his love for us, he's bringing out of this people, out of this chosen people, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer for all of our sins, the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. Okay? That's the purpose of this, to form his nation, because the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer for all of our sins is coming from this nation. So that's why they had all the rules and regulations and laws and no one else did. That's why they are protected and no one else is. Okay, do we have it? Well, that concludes, amen, somebody, that concludes Deuteronomy 9, 10, and 11. That concludes Session 45.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.